Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hello there.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, guys. Great show. Love it.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
Good morning. What would you? Is it still a beautiful day? I see some clouds. I think we're good though, right? Get some thunderstorms a little later on, but nothing we can't handle. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off this week as we get closer to training camp. And July 7th, are we in fantasy season? Are we in hardcore fantasy season? The home leagues maybe just starting to pop up here and there. If you're a sicko like me, I've already had half a dozen drafts, and that's not including any of like the daily drafts. Although I don't think I could describe myself as a sicko because Adam Krautwurst is on the Western Hotline now. And what's your number? How many drafts have you done at this point?
Oh gosh, best ball. We talking best ball too?
I took out the best ball because if it was best ball, then my number would be a lot higher, I think.
I'm probably at like 10, not best ball drafts. It's been a slow off season so far.
Yeah. Adam of Full-Time Fantasy now on the Wester Hotline, at Adam_Krautwurst, as fantasy season approaches. Home leagues are just starting to pop up, Adam. And last year when we had you on, I think I texted you about this during the season. Correct me if I'm wrong in this. We were both kind of out on the idea of drafting James Cook in fantasy, and then he went off and had the best touchdown season that a Bills ever had.
Yeah, and I think I'm out again this year for the exact same reason.
Okay, that's I had that written down to lead off with you on whether that's bankable, because he did not get a lot of carries at the 1 and the 2 yard line. Like, it was from further out. So does that make it more or less easy to trust, I guess?
Yeah, it's definitely less easy to trust. You know, that's the type of season that he had to have. He had to smash on these long to touchdown runs. He doesn't get the touches. He doesn't get the goal line carries, like you said. And, you know, I don't know if you're into expected fantasy points or anything, but last year, I don't know the exact number, but it was like high 20s. He really should have finished as like a 28th, 29th best running back based on expected fantasy points. He just got, I don't want to say lucky, because it does take skill to crack off those long touchdown runs. But if he kind of comes back to the average, he could drop tremendously in fantasy value. Good for the Bills, good running back. But again, I'm not a guy I'm drafting as like RB 13 or 14 this season.
Right. It could almost be construed as a compliment to him, right? Because he was scoring in the ways that are hard to score. Like, he's breaking off. I mean, I had him on a league in the semis in week 16 where. That's the New England game, right? He breaks off like a 40-yard touchdown run, which is amazing for fantasy, but how often can you count on a 40-yard touchdown run?
Yeah, exactly. And just to kind of counteract, Devin Achane last year only had a handful of carries that went over 20 yards. And so you think, like, that stuff's going to start to even out. A guy like Achane will move up, and Cook will kind of move down. Because, yeah, those are kind of lucky those type of touchdowns. You can't rely on that stuff, on those long touchdowns, unless you're like Barry Sanders or something.
Right. Adam Krautwurst with us on the Wester Hotline. Starting off with our fantasy conversation with a little bit of Bills here. Is there anybody on the Bills offense that excites you where they're being drafted right now? Cook can be a little bit expensive. Maybe Kincaid because he's cheaper this year, but you tell me, is there anybody that you find yourself on the Bills offense drafting more than others?
Probably not. I mean, they just spread the ball around so much, so you just don't know what they're going to do. Best ball is a whole different story, right? Like, if you're going to, they're actually kind of fun to draft in best ball because they're all so cheap. You can get, you know, Josh Allen, you know, spend a little money on him. You got to take him as probably like a top three quarterback. But after that, you can get your Kincaids going as like tight end 11. You can get Coleman late, Shakir, all these guys. You can stack them all. But I'm not super excited about it. A guy I do take kind of at the end of every draft is Elijah Moore, because I do think he's kind of good, and there's probably a pretty, not a terrible path for him to like be even like the wide receiver two by outplaying Josh Palmer or something. So that's a guy I do like taking towards the end, and a guy that I would love to be good for them and for fantasy would be Dalton Kincaid, because I think they want him to be good. You know, he's put on some weight in the offseason, I guess, getting in that better shape. But that is the guy that I think could really unlock the offense.
Do you view him as having, like, elite fantasy tight end upside this year? I mean, there are some good numbers. Like, the yards per route run number for him is an elite-level number. But, I don't know, like, last year he ran, like, 65% route participation rate. Like, my question with him is always, is there too much Dawson Knox in the offense to allow for Kincaid to be, you know, like, what would the best case scenario for you be for Kincaid? Like, could he be a top three fantasy tight end, or is that out of the range of outcomes for you?
Yeah, I think it's out of the range just based off of targets. I don't think he'll ever get there, at least this year on targets. I think he could get there on touchdown luck. Again, you score like 8 or 9 touchdowns and then you're right up there, but no, I don't. Again, I don't think the Bills even want to force it to any one guy. But I think he could creep up into the top five, top seven tight ends. And we forget too, man. Like, it used to take years for tight ends to develop. You know, like, we, you know, now we, you know, we see the one the Bowers. I mean, Bowers is like a generational type guy. But you see all these players. Kyle Pitts even like 4 years ago had 1,000 yards in his rookie year. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, it happens once in a while. So we expect, oh, well, our guys are going to do that. It's like, it takes tight ends. Tight ends is a position that takes a lot of a couple of years to really get going. So he's entering his third year. So I think that'll be really good for them. Coordinator coming back, he's just got to get on the same page with Josh, and I think a tight end 5 to 7 range is certainly doable.
Adam Krautwurst with us on the Wester Hotline. Mentioned done like 10 drafts and then a bunch more best ball drafts. Is there somebody that sticks out for you that you think you draft the most, or maybe have the data on that you draft more than anybody else? Any position?
Yeah, a guy I've been taking a lot of. I'm kind of surprised that he's fallen it this far, but Breece Hall is a guy that, you know, he was a top 3 pick in like every draft a little last year. Obviously, the Jets didn't have the offensive that they were hoping, but he's going right now, like the end of the 3rd, beginning of the 4th round. Some of these drafts, and he has such an ability to get all that stuff that we were talking about, like James Cook not getting. He can get all those catches. He can get all that goal line work. Again, I don't think they're going to run Fields into the ground. Fields will be a little bit of a vulture there around the goal line. But I think Breece Hall, just he's shown the talent. I think he's finally like a year and a half removed from that ACL. Like, I just see him as being a guy, like, especially if you start wide receiver early in your drafts, he's a guy you can get in the late 3rd that has that top 3 fantasy upside.
Yeah, what is that drop for you? Like, why is he going later? Is it Fields? Is it Braylon Allen being behind him? He was a little impressive as a rookie. As I look at his numbers, I wonder, Adam, actually, if it's just thinking of this now, he has made a living a little bit on catching dump offs and catching the football. And I do wonder if that will still exist with Fields under center.
Yeah, and I think that's baked into his price right now. Look, again, right. I like drafting him because he does have that potential upside, but even if he doesn't catch the same amount of balls as he's used to, he's going at the end of the 3rd, beginning of the 4th round. But I think that is a valid point. What are they going to do offensively? I think a lot of that, too, was, you know, going into the NFL draft, you know, they bring over Aaron Glenn. Are they going to run the same type of offense that they did in Detroit? Are they going to add another running back, the Montgomery Gibbs type of thing? And they didn't do that. And in fact, they drafted an offensive lineman, I think, in the 1st round. So right. I think his ADP just hasn't come back from the uncertainty of what the Lions were going to do in their backfield. And so I think that him kind of staying down where he is, and again, it's the Jets. And it's Justin Field, and it's just like, well, how good are they really going to do? But I think there just becomes a point where you got a running back in his prime who's been good, just kind of take him, and he doesn't have a ton of competition, you know? All the backups there really weren't very good last year.
Right. Isaiah Davis is another one who's hanging out there. Yeah. Also, contract year for him.
There you go.
Hall, by the way, going right around James Cook right now. So that, I think I would be with you. I would go Hall over Cook at this moment in time. Adam Krautwurst with us on the Wester Hotline. The quarterback position, Adam, what do you find yourself doing? Are you waiting? Are you targeting someone high? Is there a depth piece that you like? Mayfield, I've seen, is going higher this year than I think I've ever seen before. What do you like right now at quarterback?
Yeah, I usually wait. You know, Josh Allen's been going as a QB1 the last, 3 years or so. Now he's kind of fallen to QB3. So if you really want to go get your guy, you can get him. Depending on like what site you're drafting on, some sites people wait really long to get their QB. But so I'm usually waiting to get a guy. To me, the league winners every year are taken like between the 9th and the 11th round. Even going back to Patrick Mahomes and then Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and then Jalen Hurts, like all these guys, Jaden Daniels.
Just
guys that you take between the 9th and the 11th, you just got to target. To me, that guy this year might be Justin Fields again, going to a new team, again, being drafted as like QB 12 or 13, has that. I mean, he has a floor that's really low, but also has that massive ceiling with the rushing upside. So just give me Justin Fields in those rounds. And also a late round guy is Matt Stafford for me. He's, again, low floor because he doesn't rush at all. But those games, he's an absolute wide receiver kingmaker. He's got Devontae Adams, he's got Puka Nacua. He's got that, four passing touchdown upside, and you're able to get him for basically free. So I really like taking like a Field Stafford stack there and just kind of playing the matchups with them.
Yeah, Stafford going, the list I have in front of me right now has him going as quarterback number 22 with like Michael Penix and Bryce Young right behind him. Yeah. And that feels like a cutoff there. The guys that I'm always like tempted to land on are Herbert and Jordan Love, just because I think I'm falling a little bit for like the arm talent though, and believing that there are enormous passing seasons there. Because Adam, for you, like Stafford, I guess would be this, but you're getting him later. Your upside is limited unless the guy can run, and I guess that's the holdup with Herbert, right? Like Herbert ran more than he ever did last year, and it was still only 300 yards.
Exactly. Those guys are kind of in no man's land for me, whereas like if I want that guy with crazy upside, I'll go ahead and take Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or something like that. And then if I'm not going to get that guy, I'm just going to wait and grab like a Justin Fields or a Stafford. I feel those guys are in no man's land. And there's some downside there. Like, the Chargers drafted another running back, right, who's pretty good, Hampton. And it's like, how much are they actually going to throw? I mean, they have Trey Harris, who's a nice upcoming rookie receiver there. So they do have some talent. I think Herbert's fine. Harbaugh's good. But it's like, how much is actually there? Love doesn't run a ton either, coming off that injury last year. He's got, again, a ton of weapons around him. They just added Golden in the first round. But I just feel like they're kind of in no man's land where, yeah, they have a higher floor than some of the guys that I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. But I don't think their ceiling reaches into where you really want to be to kind of win some of that big money.
How about this trade that just happened last week between the Steelers and the Dolphins? Does it basically kill Jonnu Smith fantasy value for you? I mean, he had been, I had him last year in a couple of leagues. He had been led the Dolphins in catches. Is that over now? Is he still draftable? And then for Miami, do you see anybody benefiting big time from him no longer being a part of the offense?
Yeah, I think it's over. So, I mean, they like Jonnu. Like, I know that the offensive coordinator there was his head coach in Atlanta, and he was using him more than Kyle Pitts, when he was there, Arthur Smith. And so, I mean, I think he's going to be a much better NFL player than any player. They already have Pat Freiermuth there, so I don't think you can really touch that situation. I really think the big winner in Miami is the receivers. I think Jalen Waddle, I think he's a good receiver. I think they don't want to force the ball to tight ends. They want to force the ball to guys like Jalen Waddle and even the head coach. The offseason was like, yeah, we definitely screwed up. We should have got the ball more to Waddle. So I think he's really the big winner there, making that trade to kind of open up some targets for him. The big question for them is going to be their offensive line is so bad. Tua's got that baby arm. How long can he last? How teams have kind of caught up to their offense that kind of exploded out 3 years ago. Can they force feed Jalen Waddle the ball? But I think 120 targets certainly isn't out of the realm of possibility.
What is Achan for you then? With that being said, their line, as you mentioned, like it's in tough shape. And he was so exciting after that first year because there were historic level numbers and efficiency. I mean, 800 yards on 100 carries. And then last year, I don't know, it didn't really get going near the same. He came down 3 yards per carry. So would you expect it to look more like last year for Achane than his rookie season?
Yeah, I think it's going to be somewhere in between. He's not a guy that I love clicking. I don't have a ton of him. I do have a ton of Jalen Wright. Not that Jalen Wright's better, but I think he's the clear handcuff, and I think he's not much worse than Achane. So I can get him in round 11 or 12. And mm-hmm. if Achane, who's not some big bruising back, if Achane does get hurt, then I think you have a borderline league winner with Jalen Wright. But I think Achane is a fine. He's going to get there on volume, right? If he stays healthy, I think the offense is going to be a little bit better. He catches the ball, and I think he got really unlucky with a lot of those long carries. Like I said earlier with the James Cook discussion, I just think he's going to crack up a couple more 20, 30 yarders, get in the end zone that way. He's their goal line back. Tua's not stealing any of those. So I think you're fine with him as like RB 8 or 9 in like late round 2.
Yeah. Any as we approach, you know, most people's home leagues will start up soon. How much are you paying attention to, one, the schedule? I know, like, for best ball, obviously that's obvious. But for any home league or for your dynasty leagues would be over by now draft wise. But how much are you paying attention to the schedule? And then also, how much attention should we be paying to, like, that player's defense? Thinking about the Bengals last year, like Joe Burrow, Chase Brown. If you know that the team's going to have a bad defense, you can get a higher offensive output. But is that only maybe true in like the extreme circumstances, like last year with Cincinnati?
I think it can be true in the extreme, and also like game by game basis too. Schedule's cool to kind of think about. Home leagues, I don't worry too much about schedule because you, generally in the home leagues you can make trades, and there's guys on the waiver wire. So a lot of times you'll see kind of once it gets to the end, you're like, hey, I've got to win 4 in a row to make the playoffs. You're just making trades every week just to kind of win for that week. And then if you're in good shape, you can kind of make that look towards the playoffs. Oh, look, this team has dome games. They play really bad defenses. So I'm going to go ahead and target a couple of these players to kind of bolster my roster. So I really wouldn't look in home leagues too much towards that schedule. But I think defense does matter a lot, Joe. Like you said, the Bengals are an extreme case. A team kind of in that mix this year for me that's kind of a sleeper is the Raiders. So their defense is not good, and they're bringing in Chip Kelly, who runs the most fast-paced offense in football. So you can get those pieces cheap, and you're going to get in those shootouts. I'm thinking Jacoby Myers, you can get him really cheap. I think he's going to be really good this year. Bowers, obviously, you got to spend a top pick on him. But Genty as well, got to spend a top pick on him. But I think that's an offense that, because their defense is bad, because they're going to be in shootouts, you're thinking Chargers, thinking Chiefs, and because they play such fast pace, I think it's teams like those that you really want to target. Because the Bengals guys, yes, all that's true, but you got to spend every top pick, and you can't get them all.
Yeah, I love the Myers call. This is one where I'm hoping that people in my leagues are not listening, because I'm going to want to leave every draft with Jacoby Myers this summer.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. All right, Adam Krautwurst, full-time fantasy in the Western Hotline. I've got my Scott Fishbowl draft today because I couldn't make the Buffalo local one because I had a wedding. So I'm in with a bunch of Denver. I'm in with a bunch of Denver guys. So.
Oh my gosh.
Broncos. I guess I'm not getting a Bronco. Probably.
Probably not. No, it's not a live draft though, right? I mean, is it?
No, it's online.
Slow draft?
It is. Okay. It is a slow draft. Yes. Yeah. 8 hours per pick.
It's a fishbowl. By the way, great time.
Yeah. Yeah, I was definitely upset to see that I had the conflict there with a wedding, so I had to miss it. But I heard from everybody there that it was a great time and obviously raised a bunch of money, so sounded like it went well.
So good. For sure.
Awesome. Adam Krautwurst, at @Adam_Krautwurst. We'll have to play some golf in Rochester, Adam, so we'll connect with you soon.
Gotcha, buddy. Hey, broke 90 for the very first time. I know that's scary.
Okay. Wow.
Getting on the horse. Ridgemont Country Club, let me know when you're ready.
All right, we'll be up for training camp in a couple of weeks, so I'll definitely hit you up.
That sounds good.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam.
All right, thanks, y'all.
Adam Krautwurst on the Western Hotline. Fantasy season. Love fantasy season. What Bronco do I really want anyway? But I would answer, we talked about quarterback there and how like I am not going for the top guys. The top guys would be Allen, Jackson, Daniels, Hurts, in my opinion. I'm not drafting them where they're going. I'd love to tell you Bo Nix, little sleeper, but people have figured that out. He's going as the eighth quarterback because he runs. And there's really nothing else in Denver that excites me. So, yeah, I've got a draft against some Denver Nuggets fans. I couldn't make the Buffalo one. So, like, all right, they're doing it by team theme this year. And I've been a Nuggets fan since I was a kid. So, I'm going to jump in with a bunch of Denver guys. I feel like they're welcome to have me, unless I hope I didn't steal a spot from somebody out there in Denver, which might have happened. And I apologize if I did that. But anyways, time out here. Wimbledon continuing. I think Novak Djokovic is on right now. So you've got some big names that are taking the court. By the way, we are 1 week and a couple days away from the Open Championship, which get it here. Give me the golf major to fill a little bit more time before we get to training camp in a couple weeks. We'll revisit our poll from earlier. Have you got a thought on that? How important is this Bills regular season to you? And I think a lot of people I am seeing siding with me that it is, because the one seed is, I think it's almost underappreciated how valuable it is. Not just for home field, but for your path to the Super Bowl. It just is way easier if you're able to get that number one spot. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
I think the tough thing for Buffalo is they didn't want to trade Peterka, but Peterka made it clear he wasn't coming back, and the Sabres had to make the trade. They kind of lost control of the situation. They got something they really needed, but they lost control of the situation. I think with Byram, you can't continually let this happen to you as a franchise. At some point in time, you have to dictate, we're handling this. We're controlling this. And one of the things the Sabres have indicated is no futures. They want something that can help them next year. And in the deal with Peterka, they felt they got that. I think the challenge for Buffalo here is that Byram has 2 years until UFA. And now he's represented by an agent, Darren Ferris, who really tells his players, he walks them right to UFA. So Buffalo knows if they don't do this now, then they probably won't be able to do it next year.
Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts. Bo Byram, Sabres have elected for arbitration. He gets to pick the term, and he could pick 2 years and go right to free agency. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off this week. Brian Koziel is sitting down. He was just hanging out in here, and you're making your YouTube stream debut. So congrats on that to the YouTubers.
Very exciting.
How does that all sound to you? Where are we at? Where's your vibe check right now with the Sabres offseason, given that I think the number one thing everybody was waiting on to happen is still the thing that we haven't seen happen?
Yeah, it's been the anticipation of that big move and all the hype and all the rumors that Kevin Adams is wanting to make a big move. I don't know if the J.J. Peterka trade was that move, but to me, all I saw was a top six forward exit, and the scoring for those goals have not come back on paper in any capacity.
Right.
And I know at the end of Adams speaking the other day, he said, well, we're harder to play against, and we're maybe more defensively sound and aware. And okay, fine, but last year, they still obviously were way, way, way short, and they needed to improve in a lot of areas. And all we kept saying last year was, we needed another top six forward. Like, well, that wasn't there. And now you subtracted a guy that maybe is capable of scoring 30 goals. So,
yeah.
To me, I don't see how they got better. Maybe defensively, if assuming Byram is a part of this team, that I guess 1 through 6, I'll say maybe they're better. But the Byram thing still is a mystery. It seems very reactive now instead of proactive. And had they want Bo Byram to be on this team, like, I feel like they could have had it done a lot earlier and not had it drag out to this point. And then you hear Kevin Adams asking about the cap, and hey, you have all this room. How come? What's the plan? And he's like, well, we're allotting all this money for Byram. Like, well, you're waiting for like either an offer sheet or a leak or a trade or something to happen so that you have this buffer zone. Well, guess what? All the trades in the free agency, like, you've lost the timing of it. Not to say that something can't happen now, but the time to do it, the juicy time to do it is gone now. So, like, you're going to have to work even harder And I just think it seems very reactive, and there's nothing on paper to me that says that they're better.
And now the offer sheet thing is gone. Like by filing for arbitration, there's no offer sheet. So, okay, you got $13 million in space that you're saving for. Like, Byram will, if he were to be around this year, he would be on, you know, a chunk of that.
Yeah.
Half of it, maybe. But they're not. That means they're going to have $6-8 million left available again this year that they chose not to use, and that was because you were worried for 5 days about Bo Byram getting offer sheeted.
Right.
It just feels like another excuse as to why they didn't bring in more talent.
And with Adams on the record saying it's hard to get maybe the upper tier player to come here because of the no trade clauses in people's contracts. We knew overpaying maybe was a likely possibility for someone, and I wasn't going to rip him for that. I'm not going to throw Marner in this mix, or, you know, ultimately, you know, Sam Bennett never got to free agency, but I know those were the big names at the top. Maybe the next tier of player, like, let's say Ehlers, a player like that second tier player. Mm-hmm. Like, had they paid him more than Carolina did, $2 million more per year than maybe Carolina did, and we would have been like, ooh, that's pricey. I would have understood it. I wouldn't have ripped it because that's what we are under the mindset that that's what you have to do right now to get somebody to come to Buffalo. So I wouldn't have been upset with something like that. But maybe him losing out on that player or a player of that caliber because he was like, well, I have to see what happens with Byram. Like, well, you could have figured this out with Byram a long time ago. So it just seems to me like, again, the window of opportunity to maybe bring in somebody bigger now becomes much, much more difficult.
I do disagree with me on this. I think it would benefit them to have it come out that they even tried on a guy like that. I don't know how they feel. I almost get the sense that they don't go for it, or they keep it under wraps that they went for Ehlers. Let's say, what do you go for, $8.5 million in Carolina? I think it was like $8.5 million. Let's say the Sabres offered him $9.5 or $10
million. Yeah.
I almost think they would want that out there because there's a question right now of whether they even try on players like that.
Yeah.
And even giving the effort, sure, you would have failed on that effort. And I think that's what they're afraid of, looking like, well, we keep swinging and missing. But I think there are some people right now that are wondering if you were even swinging, which that's worse. I think not swinging at all is worse than swinging and missing, personally.
What looks worse? You couldn't land a player that you offered more money for.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, Ehlers chose Carolina for $2 million. Like, that's how bad the situation is now. Or, you're right, or there's the assumption now that they just aren't going after anybody or can't even get in the mix.
That they, like, no, he's not going to come here anyway, so why even try?
And I guess, ultimately, I'll side more with what you said. I think I agree. I think I'd still rather hear, well, it's rumored the Sabres offered him 9.5 average, average annual salary, and he just chose Carolina for a variety of reasons.
Competitive. Yeah.
Right. Ultimately, that is the reason that I feel like I can sleep with the easiest. Oh, we offered Ehlers 9.5. He listened. He talked to us. He was considering it. But ultimately, in the end, he says, I want to win a cup while I'm in my prime.
Right.
And I say, well, okay, I get it. Like, that's at least then I can say, well, they were in it. They were conscious of the fact that they knew they needed a player of this caliber. Mm-hmm. And they were in the mix. And ultimately, in the end, if you talk to the guy, like, he says, look, I value winning the cup more than anything. Okay, I get it. And then I feel like it's a less negative look on the Sabres. Say, well, you just got to swing again. It's something, another player who's the next Ehlers that we can throw another $2 million at extra than somebody else and hope they say yes in order to swing the pendulum back in the Sabres' favor.
Yeah. Brian Koziel sitting in. Duster Challenge this year?
Yep. Actually, just coming in to get some details out about that. So we're into July now. We're actually 2.5 weeks away. Actually, two weeks away. Friday, July 18th at Glen Oak, 6 o'clock. Our Tee to Green team and the Western PGA, we team up, put on our putting challenge. It's our ninth year we've been doing this.
Wow.
The last 2 years, we've had over 100 putters.
Awesome.
So it's a really cool night. Joe, I know you've done it in the past.
It's so much fun.
Other guys from the station have done it in the past.
Yeah.
So just a real quick synopsis of the night. 6 o'clock, we kick it off. Assuming we have about 100 or so golfers again, or putters again, 50 of you guys will putt at six, and you go through. We have an 18-hole putting course set up on the Glen Oak Green. Some ones that you think you can make a hole in one on, and then some ones that are crazy that you're lucky
you'll never make a hole in one.
Right, you're lucky you're going to two putt. But and then another wave goes at 7 o'clock. While one is putting, the other is eating, and vice versa. Hey, thanks to Peter Gourmet for providing the dinner again and donating that amazing this year.
Nice.
So then at when that's all done at 8, we cut the field. We take the top 16, and we go into match play. And then we have little mini 9-hole putt-offs, 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, and so on. And ultimately, the lights are on at this point. Music's playing the whole time. We got prizes, 50-50. Lots of great foursomes from courses across Western New York that have donated, so thank you. And then at the end, we get down to the finals, and we award the old Hickory putter, the Pacer putter that our late friend Mark Pacer, a longtime supporter of our Tee to Green show. We have a winner. We crown Western New York's best putter. So, but by the way, you don't have to be a golfer or an amazing putter to do this. We'd love to have you just come. The reason we do it, beyond the fun, is that it raises money for PGA Hope. And real quick on PGA Hope, we put military veterans in a golf scenario to kind of get them back to acclimated to normal life. And they're there with other veterans. And they get to talk about just, you know, the transition of going from military life back to normal citizen life, Joe, like you and I are so lucky to live every day. Like, it's tough for a lot of veterans. So we give them golf experiences, golf lessons with the PGA pros, other things to get them in a fun environment where they can maybe, you know, adjust to getting back to real life and through golf.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's a great time. Whenever I have a conflict with it, I'm like, slam the table because I'm really upset that I can't go because it is an awesome time.
Easiest way to sign up, go to the top of my Twitter page at BrianWGR, and it's the pinned tweet and it's the link. Just click there. It's a $49 donation. If you're an area business and you would love to donate, we'd love to have you. We'll get you a sponsor sign, all that sort of stuff. So reach out to me and we'd love to have you do it. But even if you just want to, kids do it. Last year, the finals.
I think I lost to a 12-year-old a couple years ago.
Last year, the finals was, I would say, middle-aged man against a high schooler.
So,
we get everybody in there. We're starting to get some more females signed up, which we love. But, again, it's super fun. We got music going the whole time. We got drinks. We got food. It's going to be, even if you want to come and just hang out, we'd love to have you. So thank you for letting me share that.
Yeah, absolutely. At BrianWGR, again, the top of his Twitter page is the pinned one. And then real quick, right now, a week plus out, who would be your pick for the Open? Open Championship.
Ooh, good question.
Because the Rory momentum has slowed a bit.
Yeah.
So
he's had a very, very interesting post-Masters.
Yeah.
And I will say I was dead wrong on what I thought it would be.
I thought he was going to go on a tear.
I thought he's free. The pressure is he said, I've accomplished everything that I set out to in my golf life. So then he has got zero pressure. And you'd think he'd be the happiest-go-lucky guy on the course. Golf can be so frustrating. We all know because we play. And my thought would be, hey, I just won the Grand Slam. Like, active player-wise, you have the best resume of any active player on earth.
Right. But the dam's been broken. Right. Let's go.
Just play. If you miss a cut, so what?
Right.
Kind of thing. Or what? You have a bet. But instead, he's arguing with the media. He's mad that his name was linked to his driver not being conforming. And I know some people are online are like, oh, did he cheat at the Masters? Like, no.
He didn't cheat
at the Masters.
No, he didn't.
He doesn't want to talk now to the media. He's grouchy. He's slamming clubs. He's breaking tee signs at the U.S. Open.
He's talking about finding ways to be motivated, kind of, too, right? Like, that he climbed his Everest.
Yes.
And you're kind of searching for the next mountain.
His quote about Mount Everest, that more people die on the way down. Like, how morbid is that?
That was a wild quote.
That he's like, you have this quest that brings you to the top, but like you fight through everything to get there. Now you're there and you have to go down. He's obviously not handling it well. So
it's weird.
To answer your question, I guess I'm not gonna put McIlroy there, even though it's back in Ireland. The last time at Royal Port Rush it was there. That was when Shane Lowry got his win. Lowry's had a really good year.
Yeah.
I'd like to maybe throw him into the mix amongst the non-Scotty Schefflers of the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to throw Scotty Scheffler's name into the mix here. Xander Schauffele's been playing majors outstanding over the last 5 years, so I think I got to throw his name in there. But I think it's as wide open as ever. It really is. There's so many European players. I mean, look at who would have thought Adam Scott had a chance to win the U.S. Open. Robert McIntyre could have won the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
J.J. Spahn, we know, won the U.S. Open. Like, Sam Burns, I mean, there's so many players. It's so deep. And the favorites, other than Scheffler, I feel like you could argue maybe against all of them right now. So it's going to be a very, very interesting Open here in 2 weeks.
The guy I'm rooting for and the guy I will be betting, how do you feel about Fleetwood?
Yes.
Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood, I feel like,
two
is not,
ago,
like...
2 weeks ago, the devastating loss.
Like, more for the hardcore golf fans, he's kind of like a very rootable...
Yes.
He's never won.
Yes.
And he's been... He's never won, at least...
On the PGA Tour.
Well, I guess this wouldn't count either for that, right?
So...
If he won a major?
Well, officially, yes, it would. Because the PGA Tour has... Even though they don't run the event, they have links to the event.
They count it.
It counted as a PGA Tour event. So, yes, this would count. But, yeah, Fleetwood has won a lot worldwide... DP World Tour events.
And if he won this event for his first win, I just think it would be, the story would be awesome.
For
those that don't know him.
For Englishmen, the Open is probably their number one. So I think this would definitely be it for sure. And everybody in the golf media says, like, he is the nicest guy in the world, like, so rootable, like, very classy, genuine, like, he's great for golf, and he's fun to watch. So I think Fleetwood would be a great story if he ended up winning.
TD Green this week?
Yep. We are in Lewiston, Niagara Falls Country Club.
Cool.
Porter Cup coming up, the big amateur event here in Western New York. And we'll be there to preview it this week. And then we're actually there 2 weeks in a row. Then we'll be there before the final round. So the next two Saturdays.
Cool.
And then next Saturday, too, we go 2 hours because it'll also be Open Championship week. So 7 to 8 this week, 7 to 9 next week, both up at Niagara Falls Country Club in Lewiston.
Cool. We'll be listening. Again, if you want to sign up for the Duster Challenge, at BrianWGR and find the pinned tweet right at the top there. Extendo Sports, when we come back, thanks to Brian. And we'll come back and wrap things up here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, Extendo Sports. Get you off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can line up your phone calls at 803-0550 if you are looking for it. What else? LeBron James trade rumors I've seen a lot of in recent days, although I don't think that'll actually happen. It is funny that, you know, all the LeBron power stuff, player empowerment, he never has asked for a trade in 25 years from anywhere. He's always ran out that contract and then has made a decision. He's never been traded. He's never asked for a trade. There's never really been trade rumors. So anyways. I had something else here for you. Just looking through. Got to a lot of it today. I had something good. What was it? I'll remember. We got a whole week. Luckily, we've got a whole week for that. I've got a fantasy draft coming up in about an hour, so that'll be fun.
We didn't really touch on me and my old man giving you and Jeremy the work on Friday morning.
You did. Although, what did you... Did you guys only end up winning by... By one or two?
It was... I think it was on 18.
You guys won on 16, so I don't think we kept track of who won 17 and 18.
Right.
But I think we might have won one or two of those.
I think you won 18, we won 17.
I will say... Okay, so maybe you guys won by three then?
Yeah.
Worst way to lose a match possible. So we're on the 16th hole, par three, over the tree.
Yep.
And Bulldog's on in one, I'm on in one. We've got to tie the hole to dormy it.
Right.
Right? To keep the match alive. It. We have to win it to stay alive that we could still win it. So we're both on in one. And I'm just not used to the speed of those greens, so I leave it 10 feet short. Maybe less than that. It was like five feet short.
Yeah, it was a 5-6 footer probably.
So Bulldog, two putts. He gets his par. I've got a par to keep the match alive. I've got 5 feet. Lips out. It was all the way around, too. The ball goes all the way around the hole. That is easily the worst way to lose a match.
Yeah, that was tough. I wanted to see that go in because it would have been fun on 17 to see who's going for the green, what's going to happen here. And then, you know, that thing just toilet bowls around and says goodbye. So,
like, it was back. It was in front of me. It's like I left the ball short.
Literally.
Because it did a whole 360 around the, or 180 around the hole.
It was honestly impressive. I've never really seen a
fast slip out, yeah. What was the, real quick, there were tweets about Eichel from this weekend.
Yeah.
Being in town. Jack Eichel. Being in town.
I don't know how real that was, but.
I don't know if it was real either, if it was trolling or if, you know.
You just come to go, like, yell at fans about not.
Or whether he was actually at a local establishment over the weekend.
Right. I don't know what to. And what would. That doesn't mean anything.
I'll just say this. I had one group chat that had some fun with that. I don't think any of us really took seriously any of this and might not have even believed he was actually here. Maybe he was. We had some fun with, you know, I dug up the Sports Illustrated cover of LeBron James going back to Cleveland.
Yes.
The cover of I'm Coming Home.
Right.
And his letter on why he's returning, unfinished business, basically. I'm like, this is what we're going to get. Eichel's won his cup. Boston stinks.
It's true. Come fix it, brother. How would people react?
I think people would welcome.
I don't know.
No, maybe not welcome him back, but they would take it. If that makes sense. Begrudgingly accept might be a better way to describe it. Like,
I think it would take some work for him to get back
for him?
In. Yeah.
That took it for LeBron, right? LeBron went back to Cleveland, and him and the owner had written a letter calling him like a coward.
Yeah.
And they still didn't speak when he went back there.
Right.
So, yeah, he would. Yeah. It will never happen. I understand. But, listen, for his legacy, what would do more for his legacy than coming back here and saving it?
What about
fixing it? Nothing would. Hockey players don't think that way, though. If this were the NBA, no. Maybe football, even maybe a little, but. Hockey players don't think that way.
No, they don't. It's not their mentality. I'd rather have the guy from Edmonton come to his rightful home and fix it that way.
Do we care if he goes to Boston, by the way? If it does happen? Paul thinks he can stay in Vegas. I think that's the favorite. He'll stay in Vegas. But Boston.
I think Boston's whatever.
He'd become a greater. It would only be if the Sabres got good. If the Sabres got good and Boston was good with him, that would be a rivalry. That would be hatred. That would be all good for that.
That'd be fun.
But I think the Sabres would have to get good. All right. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on the way next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6. Have a good Monday, and we'll talk tomorrow.